Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Aloha. Welcome back. It's everybody's favorite segment. Ed explains a movie. Ed, explain a movie.
We've got a movie that was the year I was born, Carrie, 1976.
Never seen it. Heard of it. I've seen she's got a bloody face at the prom. That's the extent of what I know.
That's all I knew until I watched it. Yeah. Get ready for a wild ride.
Okay, let's go.
All right, it starts with some girls playing volleyball in gym class. And I don't think it's an all-girls school, but I guess like in the mid-70s, they just separated gym classes.
I know. No, like, our gym classes were always separate.
Really?
Boys and girls, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh. Ours would like, the girls would like not try and be on the side. And the boys were like going wild playing, you know, whatever sport it was.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were separated. And Sissy Spacek plays Carrie.
Yeah.
And it's weird. She's a weird girl and looks out of sorts. She looks like something's off. But she can pass for a high school girl, but she also could pass for 30. And I looked it up. She was born in 49. So she really was like 26 or 27 when they were filming it.
Yeah, that's
weird. She looks young, but she doesn't.
Yeah, that's Ian Ziering territory. Do you think I know they do that because of the laws, the child labor laws. They use adults to play teens. But also I think it makes it like less, it makes it more palatable that they're doing adult things. So that, you know, it's like I'm actually watching an adult, even though they're in high school, they can do adult things and I can be more okay with it, I think is
especially
part of the logic
for the next scene that I'm gonna tell you. Oh,
this is so they go because they start out playing volleyball, happens, and then
what happens after gym class?
They get
sweaty.
Yeah,
and like, what's his name? Brian De Palma is the director.
Yeah,
he was going for it. Yeah. Just lots of breasts and full bush, and it's just like everyone's lathering up and like towel fights, laughter.
Oh,
it was like expected. You had to have this kind of thing in these movies.
The 70s. I was once friends with a guy that makes horror. He's actually been on the show. I was once friends with a guy that makes horror movies, and he's very successful. And I said to him, I go, hey, he had a new movie coming out. And I'm like, oh, going to be some titty. Like, there's going to be like that scene where they're running away from the killer with their titties. And he goes, and he just looked at me like I was crazy. And he goes, we don't do that anymore.
You sure did it back in the day.
I know.
It was like,
it's the good old days.
That was what horror movies were.
Yes. Yeah.
So the laughter, everyone looks 30. And I think it's the hairstyles too. I mean, they were older, but like back then, something just, but you would recognize some of the PJ Souls, the blonde chick from Stripes. She was one of the high school girls.
Yes, I'm looking at the cast right now. This is, I didn't know
Amy Irving.
Yes. Steven Spielberg's wife.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. She'd been in stuff.
Yeah.
They're in that locker room. All right. So then Carrie's the only one left in the shower, and it's like slow motion showing her scrubbing down. Mm. And Sissy Spacek is really skinny, but she has a good body.
Yeah.
And De Palma's going for it. Like, it's like slow motion lathering. And as she washes herself, she drops the soap and notices blood coming out of her. She's 30, but she's in shock. Like, she's losing her shit. She's losing her shit.
Do we know what grade she's supposed to be in?
No, I mean, it looks like a bunch of 30-year-olds showering together, and then she holds up her hand, and she's got blood on her hand, and she's like, help me, help me, and she rubs her hands on the other girls, and the girls are... the girls are like, what the fuck? And then they all start chanting, plug it up, and throw pelt her with tampon.
What?
It's wild. No. One of the high school girls chanting, plug it up?
Yeah.
Is Edie McClurg. She's trying to be a high school girl. She's 35.
Mrs. Garrett?
No, Edie McClurg is Mrs. Poole. She's Ed Rooney's secretary.
That's right. Yeah. What is going on? Like, so is this a dream sequence? This isn't really happening in the movie.
It's happening. And then in marches the gym teacher, Miss Collins, who's played by Betty Buckley, who was the woman who married Dick Van Dyke in Eight Is Enough. She's remember how there was like everyone looked like there was a 45-year-old woman there and one of them happened to be their stepmom.
Yes.
That was Betty Buckley.
Yes. Okay. I remember.
So she shuts down all the chanting and yells at the girls.
Yeah.
And she gets Carrie to calm down, and she's trying to get her to calm down. She's not. And so the old move, when somebody's like freaking out, just slap her right in the face.
Yeah, that helps. Sean Connery told us to do that. Like, if nothing else is working,
you need to shake them.
I just dropped my pen, by the way. Hold on, I gotta get it.
Okay.
Okay, go.
So when she gets slapped, then a light bulb shatters over her head, like in the room, shattered.
Because she has powers. That's how we know she has powers. Or she's possessed.
But she's acting. Yeah. And now, like, even though she's calmer, she's like a little baby, like a baby that's been traumatized. And she's, I don't know. I mean, she's just got her first period, but she looks old enough. Like, and it's surrounding the prom. So she's a late bloomer.
Yeah,
because she's getting her first period, and it's the year of the prom.
Yeah, this is before all the hormones and the milk and stuff. Now they have their period at 10 years old. But back then, you could be 16, 17 before you had your period. Although
you get that factory farm chicken.
Yes,
blossoming at 9 years old.
Mr. Tyson is getting everybody their period too early.
Right, Purdue.
But I will say, what's up with these other bitches? Like this is, they had tampons on hand. They could have just handed one to her and been like, are you okay? Or here's what you do or whatever.
It was more fun to pelt her with it and say, plug it up.
That's so disturbing, Ed. Plug it up.
So Carrie's in the like principal's office waiting room and the gym teacher and principal are talking about it. Like, isn't this fucking weird? Like, she doesn't know what her period is. Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And they bring her in. They're like, Carrie, you're going home. And the principal calls her Cassie. And she goes, it's Carrie. And then the ashtray on the principal's desk shatters.
Wow.
Or crashes to the ground.
Yes. Ashtray in the principal's office. Oh, amazing.
Like several butts in the ashtray.
Yeah. Love that.
Then she walks home. As she's walking home, some little shit on his bike's riding by going, creepy Carrie, creepy Carrie. And all of a sudden, that kid eats shit on his bike.
Yeah, because she's using her powers again. This is like Scott Howard finding out he could wolf out. Like, this is she didn't know this before that. Before she got her period, she didn't know she had powers.
You know how like you watch a Simpsons episode, and then you see what they were referring to, and you're like, oh, I didn't realize that this Simpsons episode was a reference to this movie or that movie.
Yeah.
A couple times during this movie, I was like, that's kind of like the Scott Baio movie Zapped.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
And now
it's
I realize
homage. Yeah.
Scott Baio
was
an homage to Carrie.
That's right. That makes sense.
Except Scott Baio was just making blouses come off and skirts go
The good old days. They don't do that anymore.
So we meet Carrie's mom, and it's Mrs. White, and she's played by Piper Laurie, who we did her in the death segment like last year, maybe?
Yes.
I remember we talked about her. She was like a famous old Hollywood name.
Totally.
Piper Laurie.
I remember. I recall. Yes.
So Carrie's mom is going door to door trying to convince a woman to make sure her daughter converts to the Lord. Mom's like, I'll give you $5, but beat it.
Yeah.
And she's like, I pray you find Jesus. And she's like, just take my $5 and go away.
Yeah.
So like she's religious, like pushing her stuff.
Yeah, we're starting to learn where Carrie gets it from.
Yeah, so she gets home to the creepy old house and Carrie's nervous and the phone rings and Mrs. White finds out what happened at school.
Yeah.
When she gets off the phone, calls. She's like, yeah. She's angry and she goes, you're a woman now.
Yeah.
She slaps Carrie.
Yeah. What?
Reads her a passage called The Sins of Women.
For getting her period?
Yeah. She goes, say it. The first sin was intercourse. Eve was weak. Say it.
Whoa. This is taking a turn.
She won't give up until Carrie says it.
Right. But she.
And she prays.
But we don't. But Carrie hasn't had intercourse. She just had her period, which is a natural thing that happens to all women.
But she thinks because Carrie must have had lustful thoughts, that's why she became a woman.
Oh, yeah.
And she drags Carrie by her hair and locks her in a closet.
What? Yeah.
And Carrie's crying and lights a candle and there's like creepy Jesus statues all over the house. It's like a pretty creepy place.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
And then she cries in the mirror and of course the mirror shatters and then there are like four more Jesus pictures in her room.
Yeah.
And then we're back at school. Oh, and she's
it's like
she's
the next day.
Next day. She's taught in a class taught by Cheswick from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. He was like the balding guy with the glasses.
Yeah.
Like creepy looking. You would recognize him from Cuckoo's Nest.
Yep.
But he asked the class what they thought of. So the jock of this school is reading a poem that he wrote.
Oh, no.
The jock is played by greatest American hero himself, Bill Catt.
I saw him in the cast here, and I couldn't wait to find out what he was doing. He was everywhere back then. He's in Big Wednesday.
Oh, yeah.
He was doing it all back in the day.
Beautiful blonde perm.
Gorgeous.
So the teacher's shitting, like mocking him for the shitty poem that he reads, that he wrote. Like he's just straight up mocking him.
Well, I mean, we need more of that. You know, we gotta criminalize poetry is really what we gotta do because look,
I'm all for it.
I have yet to hear a good one. I'm sure there's good ones. And look, everyone knows Ed, who's my go-to favorite poet.
Oh, is Central American guy or South American guy?
Yes, you're
Pablo Neruda.
Yes, Pablo Neruda. Like anybody asks you your favorite poet, you tell him Pablo Neruda because all his poems are in Spanish.
But what's all the bullshit that we've just normalized poems that don't rhyme?
Yes, they don't rhyme, and you're supposed and when you read them, you're supposed
with a limerick.
Lyrics are great. A haiku? Sure. Fuck with the haiku. If it's something amusing, but a poem doesn't rhyme. That's just words, dude. That's just. And then what about people? Look, this MTV did a deaf poetry jam. Deaf spoken. No, was it called Deaf Poetry Jam? They would do.
Think it was.
There was a whole show of spoken word and you had to say your poem in this cadence because then it makes more of an impact. And it's like, dude, just learn to rap. Like you just like that was LSU Lawless. That was LSU's Lawless phone call. That was great.
That was the dream.
Fuck poetry. Fuck spoken word. Fuck spoken word. Just look, put it to music or shut the fuck up. But no, hold on. Put it to music or write it down, and that's it. That's those are your two choices. I don't need you speaking it at me. Okay.
Anyway, Carrie says she thinks the poem is beautiful, and so then the teacher just turns on her, and everybody's mocking her.
Yeah.
And so Greatest American Hero feels bad.
Yeah.
And then we go back to the gym class, and we see the janitor scrubbing graffiti off the wall that says, Carrie White eats shit.
What?
So just everyone is just lining up.
All she did was have her period.
Well, she did rub it on some of the girls.
Well, that's kind of fucked. That is kind of fucked. Yeah, I would agree.
So the gym teacher lines up all the girls and tells them they did a really shitty thing yesterday.
Yeah.
Do any of you stop to think Carrie White has feelings? Nah, you're too busy thinking about the prom.
Yeah.
And so the teacher says they should be suspended for 3 days and no prom.
Yeah.
But she was overruled and instead only 1 week detention. Punishment for not showing will be no prom.
What? So... You get fed such a bill of goods on high school movies, like before you're in high school. First of all,
yeah,
the cheerleaders are the hot girls. Never. Not in real life, ever.
Almost never.
The football players are cool. Nope. Not cool. The prom is the most important day of your life. Oh my God, the prom is coming. What is going on with the prom? We're doing the prom. Nobody gives a fuck about the prom.
What are we doing with corsages?
Yes.
Corsages?
What are we
in the 20s?
Yes. Tuxedos.
The 1920s? Yes. I mean, we are in the 20s.
Yes, yeah. That's true. Yes. No.
Yeah.
Just... No, fuck the prom. Fuck normalizing the prom. Like, what is going on here with these? Like, everything they told us was a goddamn lie.
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree. Oh, by the way, the queen bee of all these chicks that you know?
Yeah.
It's the chick from RoboCop.
Oh, Nancy
his
Allen.
His partner. Yeah. Nancy Allen. Yeah. She's the queen bee in this school.
That's crazy.
And so she's like, I'm not doing whatever punishment. She's like, I'm just not doing it. I'm going to skip detention. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, she's a rebel. I love her.
Whereas Edie McClurg and the rest of the girls are treated to like some sort of boot camp for fucking with Carrie.
Yeah.
Carrie, meanwhile, is in the library researching telekinesis because she's like, what the fuck's going on with me? I got light bulbs exploding and stuff like that. She doesn't know what's going on.
So this, but now hold on again. This is before internet times. Like, there's millennials in our audience, Ed, that do not.
What's a library?
That don't know that you would have to go if you're like, I'm gonna be in Denver in 3 months. I have to learn the names of some hotels in Denver, and then I have to call them individually and ask them how much they will charge me for a room. And then I gotta go. Well, are there any other hotels you can recommend? And I expect them to tell me the name of a competing hotel so I can get the prices. My question to you is this. Telekinesis. This is a phrase I've never heard in my life. Like, if my ring light exploded right now as I'm doing this, I wouldn't go, oh, I must have telekinesis. Like, how would she even know what book to look in? This is such a leap. That's even a greater power than she has, that she immediately goes, oh, fuck, I have telekinesis.
Well, if you think the prom is bullshit, how about the Dewey Decimal System? Just finding something in a library.
Yeah. What the fuck was that?
Anytime you would find something in a library is because you're like, can you help me find this book? Cause like the librarian has to find you. I can't figure out what is going on with the Dewey.
No, there's dots. There's a dot and there's some 0.6. Numbers after the dot. And you're like, oh, I gotta look. You know, just ask the lady. What if you needed to throw some shit up on the microfiche, Ed? Like you're like, oh, I need.
You're zipping through old newspaper.
Where do I stop? What is this? And I'm zooming in, and then what? I'm going to make a Xerox of this? Like, what? How did we survive? How did we get food at the time? And also, it was a way better time, by the way. Like our guy Ted Kaczynski, he had some bad methods, Ed. Okay? Like, I don't...
Yeah, he went the old Jokey Smurf method. He just let shit blow up on
him. Yes. I don't condone exploding the secretary's face. Okay, that was wrong. But he was on to something where he's like, "Hey, watch out for technology. This is fucking everything up." He was right about that. So we should be in the microfiche time and the Dewey Decimal System time, Ed.
Yeah,
I miss those days.
But anyway, back at the boot camp thing
and analog porn, by the way.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Go on.
Chris, who's the RoboCop lady, Nancy Allen, Chris, she's like, you know what? She talks to the Eight is Enough lady, the gym teacher, and she calls her a bitch. And the Eight is Enough teacher slaps her. So she just storms off. No prom for her. She's like, I'll get my revenge. She's pissed.
Yeah.
The other main popular girl, Sue, played by Amy Irving.
Yeah.
She actually has a conscience. She feels bad about things. So she asks her boyfriend, Tommy, greatest American hero. Hey, why don't you take Carrie White to the prom?
Yeah.
He's like, what?
What? Yeah.
I mean, for what we were taught is prom is when you're definitely going to have sex.
Yeah.
And so like, he's like, so I'm not taking you to the prom, I'm taking the weirdo that nobody likes.
Yeah. I want to get some puss. Like, this is prom is about puss. Thus the classic phrase, I'm off like a prom dress. Like that's like right. that's what you're saying is everyone gets laid at the prom. You're expecting me to take Carrie. Also, what do we know about Carrie? What's the one thing we know about Carrie? She's flowing heavy right now. You know, like that's the, you know, this
right. I don't know how close we are.
It could be a couple weeks out. Oh, let's hope. Let's hope that would. But then she could be ovulating. You know, that could be a tough time for her as well.
Another problem.
Yes,
she better be able to do mouth stuff.
Huge. But I will say this, and not having seen this movie, Bill Catt, he'd be wise to stay close to Carrie. You don't want to be on their bad side. Like I asked my kids. I go, hey, you sized up the shooters at school, like you know
right.
who might be showing up, and they tell me, they go, don't worry, Dad, we're cool with them. We're cool with the yep. kids that are definitely going to come and shoot up the school eventually. We're cool with those guys.
You know who the shooters will yeah. be.
Of course you do. And similarly, if she's taking her period blood and rubbing it all over the girls in the shower and making fucking ashtrays explode and shit, you stay close to that. You know, you just, yep. look, you might not get laid on prom. But you got the whole rest of your life to do sexual activity. Stay close to the murderer.
So we cut to RoboCop lady, fresh after the prom demotion. She's riding in her boyfriend Billy's car. Mm. Her boyfriend Billy, it's the mid-70s. He's drinking a PBR while driving.
Fuck yeah. Fuck yeah, he
her is. Her boyfriend Billy is played by Vinnie Barbarino himself, John Travolta.
So I was completely blown away by this. I had no idea.
No idea.
That our guy was no in this idea. Movie. Yeah.
He spills a beer while the cops drive by, and she's like, you dumb shit. And he just slaps her. Like, it's full on 70s.
He's always slapping people. He slaps Deborah Winger around, and then she marries him the next day in Urban Cowboy. Like, there was so much slapping of women.
What was their name? Something. Forever. Fuck. This is killing me.
I can look it up. I can look it up. Urban. Hold on, I'm typing.
Oh, it's going to kill me. Yeah. Urban.
Hold on.
Cowboy.
Think of it quick. What it was the names of the characters in. Oh, yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tommy? No. No, that's his name here.
Her name. Yeah. No, you're not going to get it. It's good, though.
Give me his name or give me his name and I'll get you hers.
Okay. His name. One syllable, Bud.
Bud and Sissy.
Yes, Bud and Sissy. Now, what is Bud short for? That's one of those ones. I was this week years old when I realized that Arch Manning, that's short for Archibald. Like, I didn't know that. And it turns out Archie. That's his grandpa's name. I didn't even realize. I never thought of it. But Bud, what's Bud? Bud could be short for anything. Thing.
I think
Budrick?
It's like, yeah, but I think it's more just you're just Bud, like
yeah, Bud. What's up, like, Bud?
You're Junior. You're just you're something because your dad shares that name.
And, yeah, yep, fair. Bud and Sissy. Yeah.
So
Deborah Winger, what a piece in that movie though. Just a classic. Just hot chick.
Sure was Sissy. Yeah, I get it. So RoboCop lady wants something from her boyfriend Billy.
Dick.
So she starts sucking on his finger.
Whoa.
And here's where I got to give Travolta credit. He is a good actor because he looks like he's into it. You know?
he
really looks like he's into it.
He's a very good actor. But also, this is now, we've discussed that this is pre-internet times. This is in the microfiche days, the Dewey Decimal System. She had to be like, ask the librarian. Hey, where's the books on telekinesis? This is also pre-Purell. This like I you
Your
know
fingers are probably pretty dirty.
Yeah, before like 1997, I probably washed my hands like four times total. You know, like it just wasn't as prevalent. And now I do it probably 16 times a day. Like it's there's a lot of hands getting washed.
Constant.
But if I'm high school age and you're like, hey, let me suck on Brian Beckner's fingers, like you are rolling the dice and not in a good way. Like that's good. That could be problematic for you down the line. It's an aggressive play, especially in the 1970s.
But then she stops, right? She's teasing him.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's the problem? We do this all the time. You know, he's doing the full Barbarino Travolta era. Like,
the guy's amazing.
He He's trying to hook up. She calls him a dumb shit again. He slaps her again.
Of course he does.
Then she snuggles up to him.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, you know, sort of baby talking. I want you to do something.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? She starts blowing him. And then in between the blowjob, she comes up for air and she's like, I hate Carrie White. He's like, who?
It is a weird thing to be thinking about when you're, you know, when you're engaged in that.
So we're back in the library now. It cuts back to the library. Greatest American Hero sneaks up on Carrie and he asks her to the prom. She's hiding the telekinesis book.
But I know Nancy Allen wanted him to ask her to the prom, but like what's given him the impetus to actually do so? We don't know.
We don't know.
Okay.
But she's reading about telekinesis. She just walks away. Yeah. He asks her and she just walks away.
Oh, nice. That's the game. That's my guy mystery. That's what he would say to do. Act like, yeah, you got an egg. Fuck off. Let me talk to your fat friend. Yeah. Yeah.
So the gym teacher spots her and asks her, like, why are you so upset? She tells the teacher she was just invited to the prom by Tommy Ross. Teacher's like, he's cute. Go for it.
Yeah.
And Carrie's like, it's a trick. And the teacher's like trying to pump her up. And then the teacher goes up to Tommy and his girlfriend, Sue. He's like, what are you up to? What are you doing? And they were being honest. They're like, they want to do something nice for Carrie. Yeah. They're actually just being nice. They're nice people. Teacher's like, yeah, it's bullshit.
Yeah.
Sue's like, I'm not going to the prom. And I want my boyfriend to take Carrie. And then, like, that ends. So then Tommy, the next scene, Greatest American Hero, of course, he finds Carrie White's house. And he goes to her house, knocks on the door, asks her to go to the prom. And she asks, like, why are you asking? And he said, well, it's because you like my poem. And, you know, I really like you and I'd like to take you to prom. So she's like, fine, I'll go.
Yeah.
Next, we see RoboCop woman, Travolta, and two of his goon friends at a pig farm at night. And they sneak in.
Whoa.
Travolta takes a sledgehammer and kills a pig. Slaughters a pig with a sledgehammer.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and you're like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
Back at Carrie's house, she asked her mom, hey, can I go to the prom? Mom orders her to the closet to pray.
Yeah, because Jesus do not like proms.
Right.
Yeah.
No.
He hates that shit.
Hates proms.
Yes.
And she's begging. She said, he's a nice boy. And Piper Laurie throws a drink in her face, talks about the evils of boy. Yeah. You're not going. Carrie starts slamming. Like, all the windows and doors start slamming.
Yeah, that is good advice. Anybody with daughters, you should have this exact talk with your
Boys are evil.
Teenage. Yeah, they're disgusting. They murder pigs. They try to do gross things to your beautiful daughters, and they should stay away from them.
Yeah. So doors and windows are slamming. And she's like, I'm going, mama. Things are going to change around here. And her mom's like, oh, you've got Satan's powers now.
Yeah.
Cut to the school auditorium. RoboCop lady, Travolta, they're rigging a bucket with pig's blood hovering over the stage at the prom.
Yeah.
Cut back to Carrie sewing her own prom dress as the mom's praying away.
Oh, this was a prank. They murdered a pig. Ugh. You know how I feel about pranking. Yes, you know how I feel about pranking. Like,
of course.
Look, you could have used donkey semen. You could have used, like, there was ways. Yes, paint, anything, but you murdered a pig and drained its blood.
Sledgehammered a pig.
Yes.
Sledgehammered.
Savage.
Carrie, so school's buzzing. Hey, did you hear Tommy's taking Carrie White to the Bates High School prom? Like, everybody's going nuts.
Yeah.
And Carrie's ready to head out. Now, back to the house. She's ready to head out. Her mom looks at her and she goes, I can see your dirty pillows. And she goes, breasts, mama. They're called breasts. The mom's freaking out. Like, it's.
She calls her breasts dirty pillows? Ed, I hate to say it, but now that's what I call them.
It's a pretty good one.
Look
at those dirty pillows.
Hey, get those dirty pillows out. Where's the dirty pillows? Like, hey, you see those dirty pillows? I'm a dirty pillows guy now.
We're about to get another reference that I didn't realize what it came from. The mom's freaking out. She starts yelling, They're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you.
That.
Adam Sandler album called They're All Going to Laugh at You.
Yeah.
It's from Carrie.
I didn't know that. They're all going to laugh at you. I didn't know that.
And she's pulling her hair out. She's all going to laugh at you. Yeah. Carrie uses telekinesis and throws her mom down on the bed and walks out. She's headed to the prom. Fuck mom.
Yeah.
Prom comes. Tommy's a perfect gentleman. He's nice.
Yeah.
Carrie and Tommy win prom king and queen.
Yep.
Sue, the nice girlfriend of Tommy, sneaks into the prom to watch, and she's happy for Carrie. Like, this is what she wanted for Carrie, to have a nice night, her nice boyfriend's giving her a good time, and, like, you know, having a normal night treated well. Then she spots. She looks above the stage. She sees the bucket, the rigged bucket of blood.
Oh. Whoa.
She knows something's up.
Yeah. What is
it? And she tries to run into the prom to warn everyone.
Yep.
Gym teacher, who is always suspicious of the motives, she, from the Eight Is Enough lady, she sees Sue charging in to, like, warn everybody. She thinks she's, like, jealous that she's with her boyfriend, and she throws her out of the prom. She's like, no, no. And she's like, no, you have to understand. And the gym teacher locks the door, gets Sue out of there. She's like,
yeah.
No.
Saves
her
life.
Then we see RoboCop lady.
Yeah.
Pull a rope. They've got the king and queen of the prom on the stage, bucket of blood.
Yeah.
Falls all over Carrie.
This is the image we've seen.
Everything slows down and gets quiet.
Yeah.
Everyone has seen this image. You know Carrie, it's a prom queen covered in blood.
Yeah.
And Carrie keeps hearing over and over, they're all going to laugh at you. They're all going to laugh at you. Mm-hmm. The bucket. So the blood comes, then the bucket comes down.
Yeah.
Bucket. Hits Tommy in the head, kills him.
Shut up. Bucket?
Great American hero, dead. Bucket.
Was it a lead bucket?
I don't think they used a lot of lead in the 70s. What? You never know.
Okay. All right. So, I guess a bucket could, if it hits you in the head on the right place, I guess it could break your neck.
Back of the head. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
He's dead.
Yeah.
Carrie's covered in blood. Everybody's like, what?
You figure that perm would protect him because they used a lot of hairspray.
It was a pretty good helmet.
Yeah,
it was
back in the day. Yeah. He had the Christopher Atkins going. You spray that down quite a bit and then it's just dink, like buckets just bounce right off it. But no, apparently not. This is Stephen King's vision.
R.I.P. Tommy. Yeah. Carrie goes apeshit. Everything starts slamming. And I was like, this is like the scene at the end of Zapped. He like has a full meltdown in the prom and everything's going crazy. So yeah, that was this scene.
Yeah.
People try to leave. Carrie turns a fire hose on everyone. People are freaking out. It's just everything's going nuts.
Take me to an auditorium and this is much like driving to Whittier. Brian, here's $10 million. Hand me your phone now, drive to Whittier. I wouldn't be able to do it. I've lived here all my life. Similarly, I walk into an auditorium and there's like, here's a briefcase with $10 million. Go over there and turn that fire hose on. Sorry, I'm leaving. I don't know how to do that. How would you do that?
She's covered in telekinesis. Yeah, she's covered in blood. Everything's like going haywire in the auditorium.
Yeah.
The water that's spraying all over the place hits the microphone system.
Yeah.
Electrocutes the principal and teacher. Bait is enough, lady. Then a fire breaks out. Carrie then smashes the gym teacher.
Yeah.
Kills her with a blackboard. The backboard. Backboard. From the basketball backboard just hits the teacher, kills her.
A lot of this is a lot of jet fuels can't melt steel beams here, Ed. This not a lot of this stuff passes the fucking popular mechanics test. Like, you get fucking the Grateful Dead played Woodstock in the rain. They didn't die. Like you can have a microphone in your hand and get wet and not die. But okay, hey, look, this is
my college roommate is still a New York City fireman. Oh, he's like, I've seen so many car fires, none of them explode. Like
yes,
never. Cars don't explode.
Yes. Bet he's got a nice pension.
Everything's on fire.
I bet he's really set up. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Good for him.
I think he's just about retirement age already.
Fucking asshole.
He's very close.
Yeah, good for him.
So the fire breaks out. Everyone's locked in the gym and everyone's catching on fire and dying. Yeah. And Travolta and RoboCop lady escape and they see a bloody Carrie in the middle of the road. Yeah. She gets out. Those two get out. Everyone else is trapped in that gym.
Yeah.
They try to run her over. They're like, go, RoboCop lady's like, step on it. And they're like, they're going to run her over. And then she uses her powers, flips the car, and it explodes.
Yeah. She's basically an X-Man. Or she's Dom Toretto in the Fast and the Furious movies. She just has powers that we don't, like, you don't know what kind of power she has. She uses the force. Yeah.
Like when Carrie Fisher's like floating in space. And using the force.
She's dead. She's using the force and floating in space. And she's like, oh, I'll just float in space right around the ship and start using force on shit. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. It got very liberal with the use of the force.
I'll say.
So Carrie goes home, takes a bath. She's got to wash that blood off. Yeah,
smart.
Mom comes, and hugs her, tries to console her.
Yeah.
She said, I should have killed myself when your dad put his thing in me, when he constantly raped me. You know, the type of thing that's how you console your daughter that way.
I mean, that's basically all our moms. All our moms had that thought at some point.
Yeah. And then she stabs Carrie in the back and throws her down the stairs.
What? With what? Just a knife?
Mom's like, I should have done this already. She stabs her, throws her down the stairs. And mom's about to finish her off at the bottom of the stairs.
Yeah.
Carrie has every sharp object in the kitchen impale her mother at once. They all just come, every knife and fork, it's just.
That's kind of badass.
It's a pretty badass way to go.
Yeah.
Then we see Carrie's house imploding and sucked into the earth.
Oh, okay.
Everything, everyone's gone.
Yeah.
Then we go see the lot where Carrie's house used to be.
Yeah.
And Sue, the nice girl who was trying to warn her and got thrown out of the prom.
Yeah.
We find out she's the only person from that high school to survive, or from that prom to survive.
Yeah.
Because she got kicked out.
You guys hear that? This is pretty exciting. I just ordered a sampler pack from Segura.com. And it's all these killer, like, limited edition cigar stuff that I've never tried before. Here's a cool Rocky Patel right here, AVO, La Roma de Cuba, what's this one? Made Man. I don't even know this one. I bet it's good. It looks amazing. You guys know me. If you see me on the golf course, you're gonna see me smoking a cigar. If you come by my house on a Sunday night, you're going to see me out in the backyard smoking a cigar while I'm barbecuing. I love cigars. And most of all, I love trying new and different sticks, stuff that I just don't see at my local shop, stuff that's new to me and stuff that I can share with my friends that they haven't tried before. And that's one of the things I love most about Segura is their adventurous spirit. They're always curating the coolest boutique cigars, stuff that you wouldn't find anywhere else. And they make it easy to dive into the cigar lifestyle. This is one of their seasonal samplers that I just picked up, and it's packed with incredible high-quality cigars that didn't break the bank. Whether I'm relaxing on a fall evening or hanging out with friends, Segura has become my go-to spot for discovering something new. They have a sampler for every smoker and every occasion, so if you're looking to try something new, their samplers are a great place to start. Here's what's cool. They got a special offer just for my listeners. They came to me. They're like, we want to hook your people up because we know you're a cigar guy and your listeners are cigar guys. Visit Segura.com today to explore their unique selection of cigars and experience the next generation of cigar culture. Use code BALLER15 at checkout and get 15% off your order. Whether you're looking for a hot new cigar or just want to join a community of enthusiasts, Segura is your destination for all things cigars. That's Cigora.com and use code BALLER15 at checkout for 15% off your order.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah. Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back enact policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Marino thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
You earned a degree in the behavioral health field because you wanted to make a difference. And you're needed now more than ever. Through the new Great Minds Fellowship Program, recent Ohio graduates may be able to receive as much as $20,000 in student loan support when working full-time at a community behavioral health center. Apply before November 15th. To learn more about program eligibility, visit highered.ohio.gov. That's highered.ohio.gov.
And that was it. Everybody got trapped in. The two people in the car got in, exploded. And so she looks at a for sale sign that's been vandalized on the lot. Like, hey, buy this, buy this lot where the house used to be.
Yeah.
And it just says, Carrie White burns in hell. The end.
Wow.
Pretty wild ride.
It is.
Yeah, Barbarino getting a blowjob.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. Now, Stephen King, this might be one of those ones he doesn't remember writing, because Stephen King was...
There was a good like 10, 15 year stretch.
Yeah, he was just fueling his genius with cocaine and Budweiser and cigarettes, mm-hmm. and just fucking just going for it, like just really doing lots of drugs and alcohol. And look, I mean, this doesn't sound like... There's not much story here, Ed. There's literally no plot. Like, they're mean to her. Reasons unknown. She has powers. Reasons unknown.
Look, I participated more, like, than I shouldn't have participated in any, but there were some kids that got picked on, and you, like, you know, hopefully you're not the worst, the ringleader, but, like, some kids get shit on. They have a terrible high school experience. She just takes it to the next level.
I guess that is, it is relatable in the sense that like most of us felt like Carrie inside in high school.
And I definitely got bullied.
Yes.
And I definitely dished it out too. Like it's, and what we try to teach our kids going forward is like, be nicer to people. You know, look, nobody taught me to look out for the shooters, because there weren't shooters
in
our day.
There weren't. Yeah.
But my buddy Jake and I, we talk sometimes where we're like, oh yeah, those kids definitely would have been shooters if it were a different era.
Yeah. I mean, that,
like, you know, the kids that would have been shooters if it was a different era.
Yeah. I remember like getting my testosterone. Well, I'll tell you two stories that I regret. I remember we were playing football in PE. And some kid was on the other team, and I don't, like, something happened and he pissed me off, and I just grabbed him by the shirt and I threw him down on the ground. And even in that moment, I felt like such an asshole, and I still think about it to this day. Like, why did I do that to that poor kid? Like that was so fucked up. Meanwhile, that kind of shit also, I'm not saying like I'm some tough guy, because people threw me fucking around. Then one time I was walking, and this is how much of an asshole I was. This is where we're at the, age where we're like going to parties every weekend, and this girl was walking by me in high school, and I really regret this, and I'm this is my penance, I'm gonna say it publicly, and she walked by me and she goes, hey Brian, she goes, where's the parties at this weekend? And for no reason at all, I had no ill will towards this girl, I didn't know her that well, and I go, she goes, hey Brian, where's the parties? And I go, in your pants.
Oh.
Why did I say that to her? That's
pretty
good
line.
That's so mean.
It's fucked. It's fucked. So fucked. That's a pretty good line.
I didn't know. She's a teenage girl. And like, why was I such a fucking asshole to her? And I feel like, what? Because you don't feel good about yourself at that age. And like,
Nobody knows who they are.
Yes.
And so they're just trying to, I think middle school was worse. In my head, middle school was worse.
It was. Oh, it is.
High school.
Yes. Middle school.
Because, like,
fucked.
By high school, I kind of figured out
who
I wanted to be for the most part.
Yeah.
For the most part. High school, though.
Yes.
I mean, middle school, it's just everyone's going through puberty, and like everybody's trying to pretend they're someone they're not. It's a fucking awful time.
It was horrible. Well, I don't know. Much like Gone with the Wind, I had no, when you explained Gone with the Wind, I had no, zero interest in watching.
But that movie was like almost 4 hours. That was a crazy long movie.
Yeah.
I think a tidy, probably hour and a half.
Yeah. Like they used to be.
Yeah.
Now, movies used to be 90 minutes. That's a good amount of time for a movie. I got some interest. I might watch Carrie. Okay.
They're all going to laugh at you.
Are we doing an episode? We got a bonus segment here?
I got a bonus. Hey, it's October.
Yes. Ed.
It's October.
Ed, explain an episode of Chips.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's a special Halloween episode called Trick or Trick, October 21st, 1978.
This is, now for people, now most people know Chips. It was Highway Patrolman, which Highway Patrolman.
California Highway Patrol is abbreviated to Chips.
Yeah, Chips. And these Highway Patrolmen, and they've given me many tickets over the years, and that's all they do. Is they harass you on the freeway and give you a ticket for going 85 in 65.
You just point out one thing that this show strays from immediately.
Yeah.
You got these tickets on the highway.
Yeah, on the highway. Yeah.
Most Chips episodes are not on the highway.
Yeah, they're on the road and they're investigating crimes.
They're in neighborhoods.
Yes, they're going around.
There's no highway in this whole episode. Yeah. There's no highway.
Yeah, they're like, we got to find out who the fucking who the masked burglar is. And I'm like, no, you're a fucking ticket giver.
No,
like, what is this bullshit? Meanwhile, I couldn't.
If there's a car on fire on the side of the road,
you
tend to that.
Yeah,
you don't.
Yeah, that was your job. You scrape up the dead motorcyclist off the road. You know what they do? You know what they love to do? They love to run a traffic break. They love to, let's slow everybody down because there's a fucking ladder on the freeway up here. Let's slow everything way down. You know what they like to do?
Right.
They like to
put some cones out.
Yeah, they like to pull people over and they like to give them a ticket. And then they like to sit there on the side of the road and just check their phone for a while. And meanwhile, you know what they know is happening?
Your license.
Yes. No. Yeah. Well, they do that. Yes. But they know
you're waiting. You're like, am I getting a ticket or not?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They make you sit forever. But then they let you drive off. But then they sit there and do their shit. And what they know is happening is everyone sees them. Everybody slows down. And then you got a 10 minute.
They know this.
Yes. You think you got a 10 minute fucking traffic jam and you pull up. And what is it? Some fucking asshole sitting there texting his mistress on the side of the road.
Yep.
Like, get off the fucking road so we can drive here, buddy. Yeah, fuck Chips. By the way, my favorite show. Loved it. Love Chips.
Great, great show.
Yeah.
So Ponch and John, for those who don't know it, like, these are two fuck machines. These are handsome guys in the 70s riding motorcycles.
Yes. Larry Wilcox, by the way, John, was slated to be the star. The show was supposed to be focused around him.
Frank Ponciarello.
Frank Ponciarello. Italian named Frank Ponciarello, played by a Mexican guy.
Eric Estrada.
Yes, Eric Estrada, the Mexican-Italian Frank Ponciarello. He shows up and he's so beautiful and he's got the tight black gloves and he's got the guns and his uniform is real tight on the guns and the man is just gorgeous. And so Wilcox, who later went to prison for a penny stock scheme or might not have done actual time, but he did a
cameo for me.
I know.
He's like in his garage.
Yes, he did some financial malfeasance later in his life, much like Angels third baseman.
It cost
Doug DeCinte
$25 for him to endorse my book.
That's actually a pretty big number for Wilcox.
He's made some choices.
Yes. He was supposed to be the star because he was the boy next door white guy, but he didn't have the charisma that our guy Ponch had.
He's a good looking guy, but handsome. he wasn't the dripping with sex Eric Estrada.
Yeah, Estrada took over. So these guys hated each other's guts and they were partners and they investigated crimes on their motorcycles.
Yeah. So Ponch and John are riding on motorcycles and Ponch is like, man, I love Halloween. I like things that go bump in the night. Like he's already alluding to like, I gotta fuck.
He likes to fuck. Yeah.
And then up ahead, so they're not on the highway.
No.
But we see some we see some van swerving all over the place, like an unmarked van swerving all over the place. And then you get the peppy disco music and they're in pursuit. And it's like,
yeah, seven, Mary, three and four. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so they're after it. The van turns into a studio. And like this thing happened a million times. He turns onto like a studio lot and there are two guys carrying a background painting, like the Coyote Roadrunner trick where they paint it like scenery. And of course, somebody drives right through the painting. Like that happens so much during chase scenes. Yeah. The guys are carrying the goes right through it.
There were two places they filmed the show on the yet to be completed 105 freeway, which is what takes you to LAX. Every highway scene happened on the same stretch of freeway because it wasn't open yet. So they could just use that to shoot. And then also on the lot, they would do stuff on
so lazy. Movie lots. Yeah, let's just shoot over there.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Like, these guys are supposed to be the highway patrol crazy. And they're like on a studio lot.
Crazy.
And the van stops, like screeches to a halt, and some skinny delivery driver opens up and it's a van full of black cats. And he said he's due on the set for a horror movie.
Yeah.
So Ponch is kind of freaking out because he's 13 black cats
he's Mexican.
Ran in front of me.
He's Mexican. That's Mexicans are very superstitious. Like this is known thing in the Hispanic community. Yeah.
And so then you cue the theme song celebrating the California Highway Patrol. That's when you see highways, but not during the episode. Do, you only see it during the theme.
I mean, it's not the Magnum theme, but it's pretty good.
It's pretty good. Yeah. But I would estimate about 7 minutes of every episode are just helicopter aerial shots of Los Angeles.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they had a lot of filler.
They did.
The in and out of every break was just, you're looking at highways.
It's an hour long show. It was an hour long cop drama, you know, like they had some, you know, and they didn't have enough words on the script to really do it. They had to have some chases and shit.
They had a lot less words than usual for this script. Yeah. There's not much. So back at the station, Ponch walks under a ladder where a guy's replacing light bulbs.
I remember this episode.
And John's like, you just walked under a ladder.
Yeah.
And then he's like, it's okay. I'm not superstitious, but like things are going wrong. Then they're in the locker room. Ponch is working his electric shaver. He's like doing his electric shaver, grooming in front of his locker, which has a mirror. And he somehow nicked himself.
Yeah.
He's like, oh. Then he closes the locker door. Mirror inside the locker breaks.
Now, what was up with cops getting dressed at work back in the day? Like, they go, you couldn't just get, like, just a normal person. You just put on your uniform at your house and then go to work. They would come to work and get dressed, and then they would get undressed and sometimes even take a shower at work. There was, like, a locker room at their job.
You go home.
Yeah.
My whole thing with high school football.
Yeah. Just go home.
I'm not giving a press conference. Let me just go home and I'll shower at home. Yeah. A much better situation than the shitty school shower. Yeah.
Even in the NFL, they're in communal showers. Like there was, I mean, maybe they got stalls now, but it's like, hey guys, let's all compare dongs every day. Like what's going on here? Let's have a little privacy. Go home and take a fucking shower. You don't need to take a shower at work. It's insane.
Yeah. So you get the briefing room. There's always a briefing room scene where Sergeant Gutrayer, who's the father of the beautiful Crisp Pine.
Yeah. Yeah.
He always gives out like the assignments and stuff.
Yeah.
And he warns about the Hobgoblin. This radio is to be used for official business only. Apparently every Halloween, somebody takes over and is like, I'm the Hobgoblin. And like, just fucks with the walkie talkies.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. I remember this. Yeah.
Like it's a prank.
Yeah.
Now we're in some apartment. And we see a lady putting on white makeup and a white wig. And we find out this couple are planning on doing some crimes to get money that the lady's husband or boyfriend owes a loan shark.
Yeah.
Right arm's in a sling. So he's already been scolded for not coming up with the money. And so she's like dressing like some sort of ghost to commit some crimes.
Okay.
Some robberies.
Yeah. Well, that is a good time. It's before they made everybody wear masks to go in stores. That was a good time. That was the only time you could get away with being disguised in a bank or something. You're like, what? It's Halloween. Like, how am I supposed to take off my Freddy Krueger mask? Then you won't know. Then I'm just a guy in a fucking striped sweater. Like, I'm Freddy Krueger. I got to wear my mask in the CVS today. Then you rob it.
You could commit crimes.
Yes,
sure.
Exactly.
Now, Ponch and John are patrolling a neighborhood, not a highway. They're just like, it's straight up neighborhood And a little kid goes up to him and says, trick or treat, which what kind of kid trick or treats to a cop?
Wow.
Like they're on motorcycles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Ponch is like, hey, sorry, kid, I don't have any treats. And then the kid squirts him with a water gun with perfume.
Oh, this dude, this is he's this lucky to be alive. Dead. Yeah. Like yeah. this is he'd have two in the back. And because of qualified immunity, Ponch would be back on the job in a couple of weeks.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, but the kid was white, so
He's fine. Yeah, he's not no danger. He's no danger to anybody in the neighborhood. Yeah.
But the minute that water gun came out, it's got 19 bullets in him.
It's the end. Good night.
So he Ponce like playfully tells the kid, hey, I might have to arrest you and handcuff you. And then like, that's it.
Yeah.
Second later, his shirt is dry, but Ponce is all bummed. He's like, why me? And like, all right, you know, whatever. Because he doesn't want perfume on him because he's planning on going to fuck somebody.
Yeah, he's got his own musk that he likes. Like, he doesn't, right. he's got to throw on Sex Panthers. It's made with real bits of panther. So he can go out and he's got a signature scent attracts a certain level of woman. Now, if he's mixing scents, it could throw off the whole dynamic.
That's right.
Yeah.
And that's what he goes through every day. Everything is geared towards Ponch having sex.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So then they're in this neighborhood. They see some trick-or-treaters, you know, and then they see two guys stealing sod out of some guy's front yard. And they're putting it in a pickup truck.
How would you even know somebody was stealing sod? You would this guy's redoing his yard.
It's just because the guys are just taking sod and putting it, and then they drive off. And they're like, this looks suspicious. Yeah. And, you know, that rings true with cops. Like, they just see something and they...
Yeah.
They're looking for suspicious to do something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, maybe we can use our stick today. We haven't used our stick this week yet.
That's right.
You know, and I'm looking to crack some heads with my stick.
Right. Yeah. And so sod stealer number two tells his buddy, hey, you should pull over. The cops, you know, are behind him. Sod stealer number one's like, no, lose him. Let's lose him. So he guns it. And then they eventually crash because it's a chase and they crash. And then the sod stealer's like, oh, we're just playing a prank on a buddy. Last Halloween, the guy drained my pool. And this time, like, we took his sod.
Do you know how much it fucking costs to fill a pool? There's fucking 25,000 gallons of water in a pool. It's that could be a few grand. Yeah, exactly.
They
also
dismantle the guy's front yard. What is going on with these pranks?
Also, so much work to do some gay prank. Like, oh, I'm going to fucking take your lawn out. Like, you know,
just prank call him.
Yeah.
Prank call him.
Yeah. You got to fucking shovel up all the grass. You got to rent a truck. You're like, ha ha. I took your lawn. Okay. Can you bring it back, please?
My back hurts for the next month.
Yeah. I'd rather have pig blood poured on me, honestly.
So Ponch and John head to a store because Ponch is like, I got to load up my bike with candy.
Yeah.
Because that kid went trick-or-treating.
Yeah.
In the parking lot, a guy comes up to him and he's like, how dare you threaten to arrest my son, put him in handcuffs. Yeah. Now he has just run away. And he looks at Ponch. He's like, and you're the cause of it.
Yeah.
It's like the kid who shot him with a water pistol. He's like, hey, I should probably arrest you. That was it.
It was a joke.
And now the dad's blaming him for his son running away.
It's white privilege.
We get more aerial shots of LA. Lots of aerial shots.
Beautiful.
Ponch and John now are just right. The highway patrol, I have to remind you, they're just going around the neighborhood asking kids if they've seen recent runaway Tommy Stone. Like, they're just, that's their job now. They're just looking for a runaway.
Meanwhile, call a cop right now and say someone in your life is missing. They're like, oh, what drugs are they on? I can't.
Yeah. We gotta wait 48 hours.
Yeah. Wait till they've been gone 3 days and then call back and we'll come out and file a report, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if they happen to overdose in front of me, I've got Narcan, but that's about all I can do. So then Ponch lectures them. They're like, you shouldn't be walking without an adult, this group of kids. And then one little guy, he like steps out and he's like, I am an adult. It's a little person with a mustache. So like that, there's a little comedy bit.
Was it Billy Barty?
At the expense of it wasn't Billy Barty, but it had that vibe.
Yeah.
Like a little person with a mustache. He's like, I am an adult. And then they're like, oh, my bad. Like, and that was it. Like, okay.
Always funny though. Like it's like,
Yeah.
You know, it's the joke writes itself. Like, it's, you don't even need to write a joke. You're like, we'll just throw a midget in this. Like, yeah, exactly. Boom. We're good.
The writer's room.
Yep.
They're like, fine. Yep. We did it. High five.
Yep.
Gautreyer rides by on his bike. I had forgotten. Did he do a lot of field work? I always imagine him in the station.
Yes. And also, yeah, he would ride a motorcycle because there was a couple that were car dudes. But Gautreyer, who's still, I mean, how fucking old was Gautreyer back then? Because he had to be in his early 40s
He had the white temples. He had the gray temples.
I just looked it up. He's 83 today. So that means in the late 70s, he's in his late 30s.
He's in his 30s.
Yeah. Insane. In 30s. That's crazy.
Yeah. But a handsome, handsome dude.
Yeah, he would. Gorgeous. Yes, he's a good looking man. And yeah, he would ride the bike sometimes to, like, you know, check on shit. I remember that.
So he's like, I'm looking for whichever one of your fellow cops is playing the hobgoblin. So he's like, I know it's not you two guys because whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, hey, Ponch, you smell like perfume. And Ponch is all like,
yeah.
And then Ponch and John ride up upon. They find two attractive women trying to steal a street sign, and they're like, it's for a scavenger hunt. And they do some flirting, and they let them off the hook. And then they're like, hey, would you like to come to a Halloween party tonight? And they're like, So, like, they've lined up their kid.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, these guys got pussy. Like, there's just no big deal. These guys, they're cops. They're in shape. They're handsome. These guys are doing work.
And we cut back to the ghost lady who's holding up a liquor store while her boyfriend with the arm in a sling, her husband, is driving a getaway van.
Yeah.
And she threatens the liquor store guy. She's like, I will spray you with mace.
Yeah.
And
wow.
It looked like a little tube of Benaca, too. It looked like the tiniest thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, just take everything. It's fine. And then, like, okay. So she's.
Yeah.
So and then the liquor
this
store.
This was pre-pepper spray, by the way. So how shitty was mace that they had to come up with pepper spray? Like, it's like, what you think would mace would just be enough, but apparently they're like, oh, mace doesn't work. It didn't work on Rodney King. Yeah. We got to get some pepper spray.
Right. We need something that if we spray it, everyone within a quarter mile will have their eyes burning.
Yes.
As I've been downwind of some pepper sprayings, and it's rough.
It is. Yeah. I've been around that as well.
So the liquor store guy, like, Ponch and John are just always exactly where the action is, but never on the highway. The liquor store guy then sees Ponch and John. He's like, hey, I just got robbed by the ghost.
Yeah.
And the ghost lady runs away and she cuts in front of a car who's driven by a drunk driver. He crashes. He crashes the car. And that's more comedic relief. Drunk driving was like hilarious. Always the comedic relief on the show.
Man, I can only tell you how many times I went and picked up my stepdad's friends from getting 502s back in the day. The same night they would just arrest them and be like, can you come get him? And then it was fine. Then they just still were driving drunk, like no big deal.
Yeah. And some old lady drives up to a group of kids and steals their bag of Halloween candy and then jumps in her car. She just takes a whole bag and leaves. Like, it's a kid in a skeleton costume. Insane. She drives off.
What's like candy?
And Ponch goes up to the kids and he's like, hey, I'm sorry about your candy being stolen. But I've got a motorcycle full of looks like old people candies, like the little
butterscotch.
Like bullshit candy.
Yeah.
And he wasn't giving them candy bars. No. He's giving them like little trash.
Well, it's not even a Reese's. Wait, hold on a second, Ed. Hold on a second, Ed. Let's take this call. This is going to be my exterminator coming to spray for ants. Here, let's take the call. This is Brian. Hold on. Here we go. Hold on. Yep. Okay. Now I got you. Hello. This is Brian.
Hello, this is Landon with Oceanfront Pest Control. How's your afternoon?
The afternoon's going great, my man. You coming over?
Yes, sir. I'll be there in approximately 20 to 35 minutes.
Okay, perfect. I'll be wrapping up at that time. So there's a gate, and the gate code is pound. Shit. I don't know the gate code. Yep, say it.
0422.
That's it, buddy. That's the gate code. All right. I'll see you in a few, Landon. You the man.
Perfect. Thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, you too, brother. See you. Okay, Ant guy's on his way ahead.
That's good.
Yep.
All right, ghost lady and her husband now have $1,022. So they were pulling off some scores in 1976.
Unreal.
In one night.
Yeah.
Must have bumped off a few liquor stores.
Yeah.
And well, they're like,
yeah.
Guy's like, all right, we'll pay off the loan shark. We have enough.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, we have $1,022. That'll leave us with only $22. Let's commit some more robberies.
Yeah, smart.
Now she wants, yeah. She got her beak wet. She wants yeah. more.
Now, like you may be going like, this seems like kind of a lot in 70s monies for bumping off liquor stores. Lest we forget that Buck Swope witnessed a late night donut shop murder where both the perpetrator and the proprietor accidentally, well, on purpose, murdered each other, and Buck Swope swooped in and took the day's profits from a Winchell's and started an entire hi-fi store. He rented the building. He bought all the inventory. Yes.
But it had to be 10 grand.
At least.
In donuts.
Yes. In donuts. From one day's haul at a donut store. A donut today is must 85 cents.
Yeah. Must have been near a police station.
Yes. They were like a nickel a donut back then. They must have been just selling cases of donuts all day long and coffee.
So then Ponch and John stop by some abandoned house to look for, they're like, we can't find runaway Tommy anywhere. He must be in this abandoned house.
Yeah.
And they find him hiding under some box.
Yeah.
Tommy tells Ponch, hey, you smell funny. Like a callback hit him with perfume.
Oh, I thought he shit himself. And that's why he's high. Like he shit himself. And he's like, I can't be out
Tommy
now.
Tells Ponch he smells funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they like uncover him and he's just hiding out. And then like Ponch hugs him. And it's like, okay, that's the end of that storyline. Like, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. That's it.
Ran away. Dad yells at him. Then they just find him. They hug.
And is Ponch absolved? Like, hey, sorry, your kid has autism. Like, it's not really. I'm not the one that made him go to the other. Maybe don't have your fucking kid with special needs out running the streets by himself. Maybe look after him. Maybe be a fucking dad and not expect the fucking CHP to raise your kids. We write tickets.
But there was no, like, the ghost who's, the ghost lady who's robbing things, like, that's a storyline. They're trying to stop a criminal. This is some random kid who comes up to Ponch and then runs away. Then they find him. And there's no twists or turns. It's just one scene, he's there. One scene, he's missing. One scene, he's back. That clearly is like, all right, we've already used 7.5 minutes worth of aerial shots. We need another 7 minutes of story.
Yeah.
So they just added that bullshit.
Yeah. Nice.
Ponch and John drive by where the street sign, where the hot chicks said they wouldn't steal it. They ended up stealing the street sign after all for their scavenger hunt.
Now they got to go investigate. They got to go see. Oh, right. You didn't put the street sign down in your panties, did you? I better take a look. That's how I would investigate it.
Yeah, in your pants. I tend to investigate better with my penis.
Yes.
So just as that they're seeing the sign, remember everything. They're not traveling great distances on a highway.
No.
It just as that's happening, they see the old lady stealing another kid dressed like a skeleton, his bag of candy, jumps in her car, drives away. They follow her to her house and they're looking in the windows and they see this old lady just dumping out bags of candy and like sifting through candy.
Yeah.
They find out and she's very old. It turns out she lost her engagement ring in some kid's candy bag who is dressed like a skeleton. So she just, every skeleton she's attacking. And then John's like, hey, did you ever check your bowl of candy to see if the engagement ring's in there? She's like, oh yeah, there. Uh-huh. Everything's good. And they're like, you just terrified. Like you ruined, I don't know, 12 different Halloweens for kids.
She's the Grinch.
Like, ah.
Yeah.
Nope. No big deal.
But it's expensive ring.
They don't give the candy back.
Candies.
Now she has everyone's candy.
Did you see any Pearson salted nut rolls amongst the mix?
No. So it wasn't a truly great haul, but she took down a lot of good candy.
Yeah.
Got a report for another 211. It's the ghost lady.
Seven Mary, three Ponch and four responding. Yep.
Ponch and John in pursuit to more disco music.
Yeah.
Getaway van. As they're trying to get away, kids are throwing eggs at it because they're doing a little egg tossing.
Yeah. That's what vandalism. You do. A lot of pranking happen. You know, Devil's Night they used to call Devil's it in night. Certain cities. But for, I think that was made up, though. Yeah.
Where I grew up, Mischief Night, it was the night before Halloween.
Oh, yeah. You made a two-night thing.
On Halloween, we were in it for the candy. Yeah. We weren't doing... I wasn't big on the pranks, but I know that's the night where pranks
happen. Do your kids hit you up to not have to go to school the day after Halloween? Or in some places, there is no school the day after Halloween. Yeah. Oh, because mine do.
No.
Well, my daughter would be like, oh, no one's going to school tomorrow. And I'm like, no one goes to school any day. There is no school. There's school like every other day, every other week. And it's like, oh, we get this off. It's a ditch day. It's fucking the day after Halloween. It's the day I still don't give a fuck. Go to school. Not my problem. Yep.
So, you know, because the getaway van got hit by eggs, they can't possibly drive. They can't use their windshield wipers. The van just crashes.
Very bad.
An egg hits their windshield. And they're like, we're fucked.
Yeah. Also, so, this is pre-Bidenomics because now eggs are fucking $800 a dozen. Like this is no one's throwing eggs at
you. Might as well be Fabergé eggs.
Yes, you're fine this Halloween. Ain't nobody throwing an egg at shit this year because eggs are fucking too goddamn expensive.
So now there's time for just one more thing. What does Ponch really need to do this episode? He's made an arrest. He's found a lost kid. He's got one other thing to do.
Oh, he's got to fuck.
Of course.
Yeah.
So like now we gotta they get into plain clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Bell bottoms. Mm-hmm. Boots. Like
really tight pants.
Yes. And like an open blouse with a cool pattern on it. Feet. Yeah.
Not in the bottom of the legs, but you want to see what Ponch is working.
Now, are they going and doing some kind of disco? Are they hitting a disco somewhere?
They're going to that Halloween party the scavenger hunt lady.
Oh, yeah.
And they show up and at the party they see Getrayer, Grossman, the other guy that you recognize from
Grossy. I love Grossy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the cops are already there.
What?
And part of the scavenger hunt was each woman was supposed to collect a cop. So they all lured cops in.
Yeah.
So Frank Poncherello and John Baker are about to blow some backs out. They are ready to go.
Yeah.
Getrayer looking great.
Yes.
I wrote, guessing Getrayer gets it in too. That's what I wrote.
Yes, of course. 100%. Yeah, no, Getrayer was also doing work back then. Everyone was doing work. Even Grossy probably did some work. The one guy that wasn't doing work was Harlan, the mechanic.
The guy who they kept in the garage. You never saw him out in the field.
Yeah, he was kind of like a little person. He was very slight, and he wore like a doctor's coat because he was like a genius at fixing Crown Victorias or something. Like they're like, oh, we got to get it to Harlan.
Why was he wearing a lab coat?
Yeah, well, he's wearing a white lab coat, and he's supposed to be some fucking grease monkey mechanic. But back then he was like the professor of how to fix a Crown Vic. It was very weird.
He should have been dressed like Fonzie with the onesie,
yeah,
gray coveralls. That's like you shouldn't be dressed in a. You're dealing with oil. Why would you be wearing a lab coat?
It's crazy. Yes, it's insane. Yeah. Okay,
so that was the end of that episode. Amazing. So it's 90% cocaine in the writers' room.
Yes,
and 10% Ponch. Just like I don't care what you guys do, just make sure I fuck.
Yeah, can I get laid? At what point do I? He's thumbing the script. He's like, I'm to page 14. I haven't been to a disco yet. There's no chicks in bikinis. What is this episode? I'm not even showing up to work. You don't even need me.
Okay, we'll add in some ladies trying to steal a street sign on a ladder.
Yes,
and then it's like, oh. I know where this is going. I'm going to fuck him.
Okay. Excellent work as always, Ed. I love these episodes. Fan favorites. Ed explains a movie. Ed explains an episode of Chips. Hold on. Let's play the song. Let's at least attempt to do it right one time. For Ed Daly. My name is Brian Beckner. This has been whichever episode it is, of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Goodbye. TBLF.
yes, hell yes, the lifestyle's baller. Podcast getting bigger and not smaller. Broadcasting weekly, that's what we do. With Easy Ed Daily and a man Jay Stu and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Plus Daily Choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comers, conundrums, my brothers. Reviewing some movies and shows and others. Top podcast, man, no one is above us. 5-star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit's so hot, man, you know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Moreno says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Moreno is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Moreno will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Moreno thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Moreno was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.